This is the Get Healthy 360 podcast, where we discuss topics related to your physical, mental, financial, and spiritual health. Your host is Dr. Chris Ferguson, board certified in anesthesiology and pain management. This podcast is for informational purposes only, and you should consult your primary health care provider before making any decisions related to your health. And here's your host, Dr. Chris Ferguson. Oh, one more thing before we start. If you like this episode, please consider rating us 5 stars. We would really appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Welcome to Get Healthy 360. Today we have with us Dr. Ala Abd El Sayed, also known as Dr. Al. He is at the anesthesiology department of the University of Wisconsin. He joined that department in 2014, and he provides chronic pain medicine services as part of the interventional pain program. He's really trained all over the world. He did his research fellowship at the Cleveland Clinic, and he also did a residency in anesthesiology and pain management at the University of Cincinnati. As part of the interventional pain program, Dr. Al evaluates patients in the pain clinic, treating a whole host of pain. He does all of the standard pain procedures. He also does many advanced procedures. He has numerous studies involving opioids, genetic variations leading to different individual responses to opioids, the use of neuromodulation, peripheral nerve stimulators. He also has special research interests in fibromyalgia, complex regional pain syndrome, headaches, and he's leading a study called CREATE to help complex regional pain syndrome patients. He's published more than 70 peer-reviewed manuscripts, authored several editorials, book chapters. He's presented at more than 60 international and national conferences and has earned more than 15 awards at the state and national levels. In addition, he has served as a reviewer for more than 20 journals and is an editor to several journals. So Dr. Al, as he likes to be called, is also a member of the American Society of Interventional Pain Physicians and the American Society of Regional Anesthesia and Pain Medicine. He was named among the leading physicians of the world and America's best physicians in 2016. He recently published a textbook dedicated to treating sacroiliac joint dysfunction. For those who don't know, your sacroiliac joint is basically your pelvis, that pelvis area, and it's often a cause of low back pain. So with no further ado, Dr. Al, thank you so much for taking the time for this podcast.
Thank you, Chris, for having me.
It's an honor to have you talking, sharing your expert knowledge on this often difficult to treat but common problem.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
How common do you think sacroiliac joint dysfunction is?
It's actually very common. I would say a majority of patients who have low back pain, typically the whole area will have, you know, sort of pain and arthritis. And typically the SI joint probably will be involved in most patients.
So how does someone know if they have sacroiliac joint pain?
It's usually pain in the very low back, which increase by sitting. It can sometimes manifest as pain shooting down the leg as well. It's this kind of pain also that patients will tell you, if I sit for a long time or I sit in a long ride in the car, I'll feel this pain. So different from spinal stenosis and other lumbar conditions where a patient improves by sitting. So that's kind of mostly when patients start talking about this, identifying the location and the triggering factor, that's when we start to be suspicious about the sacroiliac joint.
So what should someone do if they think they have sacroiliac joint pain?
They need to seek treatment. The problem with sacroiliac joint pain, it can continue to get worse, but then it can make the patient very, very uncomfortable, even sitting, which is, I would say, more of the resting position that improves many types of pain. So if you get uncomfortable with sitting, it's a problem. That's why they need to seek care quickly. Because the solution can be as simple as just doing some physical therapy, catching up on the pain early on before it gets worse.
So how do you diagnose sacroiliac joint pain?
Typically, symptom that the patient will mention about, again, the pain, the location, which will be in the low back, below the lumbar region, upper buttock area. And then we do, you know, palpation of the joint, the Faber test, and basically trying to do the test that can move the joint so we can see if there is pain on joint movement, in addition to reviewing any x-rays or MRIs the patient may have to check on arthritis or degenerative disease of the joint. So all of those together can help us make the diagnosis.
What type of physician is the best type of physician to diagnose sacroiliac joint pain? Or where should someone really go?
Ideally, it's, I would say a well-trained pain physician will be the best to identify. Sacroiliac joint actually is one of those maybe unusual conditions to diagnose in the primary care setting or other settings. So ideally, it should be in a pain management setting.
So if someone, say, goes to physical therapy for a while and they try physical therapy isn't working, what would be the next step?
Usually we like to start with least invasive to most invasive. So if physical therapy doesn't work, then we start to trying some medications, like as simple as over-the-counter medications, and then some neuropathic medication that we use. And by the way, as you know, we use the antidepressants and anti-seizure medications. They are very good in treatment of pain management overall. And if those fail, then we start talking about interventions. And we start with as simple as just an intra-articular steroid injection. If there is an inflammatory element, then things like nerve blocks, radio frequency ablation. These are also very simple procedures and I would say effective in most patients. But if these fail, then we need to go for more advanced procedures.
So for those who don't know what all these procedures are, because they're just not familiar with these procedures, what is a sacroiliac joint injection?
So the sacroiliac joint, from the name, is between the sacrum and the ilium, junction between the two bones. So the patient basically will lay flat on their stomach under X-ray, where we can see the joint very well because it's like a line joint. And then we go with the needle inside the joint and inject steroids with local anesthetics. Steroids are known to be a very strong anti-inflammatory medication, so can work very well for arthritis. And I always tell my patient, the sacroiliac joint is same like the hip joint, the knee joint. It will get arthritis, it will get the degenerative changes, and can hurt same like any other joint in the body.
So they try the sacroiliac joint injection. That's not really working. Radio frequency ablations, terms like that, that's not really a term that many people, even physicians, are familiar with. Can you explain what that treatment is?
So we do diagnostic blocks. Basically, you try to block the nerves that innervate the joint. So if you block the nerve that innervates the joint, so the pain basically, when traveling from the joint up to the central nervous system, it will find a blocked nerve, so it will not travel. So we will not perceive the pain. And if those blocks work, we go back and apply the radio frequency ablation procedure, which entails placing certain needles and probes to connected to the radio frequency ablation machine. It applies heat to the nerve for around like 80 degrees, which is a temperature that will damage the pain fibers in the nerve or damage the nerve altogether. And these are, you know, nerves that innervate the joint, so no other harm to function typically happens. But this will create a lesion that will block the transmission of pain. The pain will grow back, but takes 6 months to a year, so it takes much longer than a regular nerve block to return. So give the patient long-term relief.
So how long does it take for this procedure to give relief?
It's a very good question. So I see up to 6 weeks, and that's why I tell the patients, sometimes you will feel sore from the needle for a few days. I mean, typically it's sore from the needle from a few days, 1 or 2 weeks, they start feeling the improvement. But I have seen people who experiment the improvement really within 6 weeks.
From my understanding, this is a fairly common procedure, correct?
It is a very common procedure, yes.
To highlight what we're doing this podcast about is, you have a textbook, Sacroiliac Joint Pain, A Comprehensive Guide to Surgical and Interventional Techniques. So beyond sacroiliac joint injections or the radio frequency ablations where you put the nerves to sleep, what are some of the more advanced treatments for difficult to treat sacroiliac joint pain?
So the sacroiliac joint has been an area of interest for new technologies in the past 5 to 10 years. It has probably one of the most important developments in advanced therapy. Things like peripheral nerve stimulation, where you can, rather than do radio frequency ablation for the nerves, just stimulate them continuously. So this way you have an implantable device that can work for years, blocking the nerve and stimulating them. So this way controlling the pain from the sacroiliac joint. There have been new devices that are made to simply and minimally invasively fix the joint. So basically injecting bone grafts inside the joint or doing more surgical invasive lateral fusions. So when you fuse the nerve by either way, you can basically abolish the movement of the joint to this way you don't have the pain. And this is one of the joint if that honestly, if you fixate it, the function would continue separate, different from the hip or the knee. If you fixate those two joints, definitely would have an impairment in function. But the sacroiliac joint has limited mobility. So when you stabilize it, you just get rid of the pain. There have been work on stem cells and regenerative medicine and also trying to treat, but that's probably something that done in certain areas doesn't have, I would say, the strongest evidence, but it is a practice that exists. So these are like mostly the new things that were developed. And again, there are several brands for every single procedure I mentioned, Chris, as you know, that can be used with different but similar techniques. So many options to follow if those interventions fail.
And a bit just to follow up on the nerve stimulation for the sacroiliac joint dysfunction, how well does that stimulation technique work?
It works very well because you do a trial. So the patient will try it first for a week, which is probably as good as it gets. You try the therapy, and then when you do the implant, you basically mirror image what you did during the trial. So makes sense that the patient should feel the same relief he had with the trial.
And then what are your thoughts on sacroiliac joint fusion? I know there's it's an area of mixed feelings where some people feel very strongly that it's a phenomenal technology to fuse the sacroiliac joints if it's causing persistent pain. And then other people think that you really shouldn't be fusing that joint. Where do you stand on that controversy?
The controversy was created because we don't have very large studies done to actually advocate for one side versus another. So that what creates always a controversy is that we don't see something solid to read about. So the scientific concept is it's sound and approved by the FDA. And in my opinion, it should be preserved for patients who come to you, like tried everything, and their pain is terrible, impairing their life. And I see those patients, and you see those patients in clinic will come, you know, it is a sacroiliac joint, but then you've tried everything else and nothing is working. I think that's a patient that really, even if I have controversial opinion on the procedure, I think it's worse than the trial because there is nothing else to try.
So you've offered a whole host of treatments from physical therapy to medications, various medications to sacroiliac joint injections, sacroiliac joint radiofrequency ablations, nerve stimulation, and then up to and including sacroiliac joint function. What's something you think that people often misunderstand about the sacroiliac joint, but they should actually know?
It's unfortunately people do not know about the sacroiliac joint. Like patients, before you and me go to medical school, like the sacroiliac joint is probably not a very common joint that people learn about. And thank you for this podcast to teach people about where is the joint, where it exists. So that's one thing. The other thing here is that many trained physicians who are not trained in pain management practice other specialties sometimes underappreciate the importance of the sacroiliac joint and the pain it can cause in the low back, which can just delay the diagnosis and the care the patients may get.
And I think you highlighted the importance of seeing a pain physician to figure out exactly where the pain's coming from, because I don't know if you want to comment on the difficulty in just diagnosing low back pain, because typically people will come in and say, oh, I have sciatica if the pain is in their back going into their legs. But in fact, there are many things that could be causing pain in your back shooting down the legs.
Yes, that's a very good question, Chris. The area of the low back is very complex, and there are many structures and joints down there that can cause pain. And the diagnosis sometimes is overlapping and not straightforward even for us as specialists. So it can come from the vertebra, it can come from a disc disease, it can come from the arthritis, foraminal stenosis, can come from the muscles, and then can come from different joints and ligaments. That's why it needs a very thorough exam. And what can complicate the picture even further, that patients can have everything I mentioned. They can have the disc disease, the arthritis, and the sacroiliac joint arthritis or dysfunction as well. which necessitates kind of more work around all the areas that hurt. So not a straight shot and require a lot of work in diagnostics.
Dr. Al, you've given a fantastic review of the sacroiliac joint, various treatment options. If someone has a specific question or they want to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you? Or if they have someone or they themselves have sacroiliac joint pain, what's the best way for someone, if they want an expert such as yourself, to see them and treat them?
We welcome patients in our clinic. So I work at the University of Wisconsin and I lead the program, one of the biggest programs. So I encourage patients to seek help. Come our clinic at 1102 South Park Street in Madison, Wisconsin. So this way they can get evaluated and get into the appropriate treatment.
Dr. Al, thank you so much for taking the time for this podcast. It was a huge honor, especially to have someone of your caliber and really a true world expert in your field to share your knowledge with all of us on the sacroiliac joint dysfunction. And if anyone's interested in the sacroiliac joint dysfunction, you can purchase the book on Amazon or anywhere textbooks are sold.
Yeah, thanks so much, Chris, for having me and for spreading the knowledge.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and visit the Get Healthy 360 Facebook page. We are always looking for feedback and new story ideas. Thanks again, and see you next time.